All right, everyone, welcome back. Ed Reif here, and today I want to dive into something from my poker vlog. A recent VDUI post, actually.
Okay.
It was about a pretty intense no-limit hold'em session I had. And the title I gave, it kind of sums up the whole roller coaster. Hate the win, not the winner got tilt.
That title definitely grabs you. Hate the win. It immediately makes you think about the mental side of poker, doesn't it? Not just the cards.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about that emotional journey, how you handle the wins and the losses, especially the weird ones.
So you're hinting that not all wins feel good or earned.
Yeah, pretty much. You're probably wondering, like I was right after, how can a win feel wrong? What exactly happened?
I'm definitely curious.
Well, stick around, because this specific hand, and really the whole session after it, gave me this like really raw personal look at some key poker ideas.
Okay.
And it starts with this concept I've been thinking about a lot. Making the right mistake. Sounds contradictory, I know.
It really does. Mistake, that's right. How does that work? That's the puzzle you're setting up here.
Okay, so let's break down the hand. Picture this. I'm heads up. High stakes game.
Right.
My opponent puts in a raise, and I decide to just call. I'm holding suited connectors. Now, my read, my gut feeling at that moment was he probably had ace-king.
So right away, you're playing the player, trying to figure out their range based on the action.
Exactly. It's that intuition, you know, comes from playing tons of hands. But it's still a guess, sort of.
Sure. And calling there with suited connectors, knowing you might be up against ace-king, that's already a risk-reward calculation, isn't it?
Totally. Big potential. But you're likely behind pre-flop. It's a gamble.
Okay, so what happened next?
So the flop comes down. King high. And boom, I hit two pair.
Nice. Looks strong.
Looks strong, yeah. But, you know, even then, with that king on the board, alarms are kind of going off. There are hands out there that beat me or have huge draws.
That's crucial, isn't it? Board texture. Even a hand like two pair isn't invincible. You always have to think about what your opponent could have connected with.
For sure. So after the flop, my opponent, he just shoves. All in.
Whoa. Okay. Pressure's on.
Yeah. And I snap called. Just instantly. Looking back now, especially with that ace-king suspicion, it felt super gutsy. Maybe even a bit loose. Reckless.
That quick call is interesting. Was it just pure reaction, or did you pick up something else from him? Or maybe just felt committed?
Honestly, it was probably a mix, but mostly I think just a reaction. And it turned out, well, I was behind.
So your read was likely right. Ace-king, or maybe better.
Yeah, I figured he had me crushed. Ace-king, maybe even a set of kings, but then the river card. It's a five.
A five. Okay.
Which gives me a full house, kings full of fives, and just like that, I scoop this massive pot.
Wow, that's poker right there. One card changes everything. Pure luck on the river.
Pure luck is exactly it. My first thought, honestly, was, man, I just sucked out so bad on that guy. It wasn't skill on that street, it was just the deck saving me.
And that leads back to your making the right mistake idea.
Exactly. My call on the flop, given what I thought he had, statistically, probably not great. It was questionable. But purely by chance, it led to a win. That's the right mistake.
But as you point out in your vlog, those kinds of lucky wins, they can be dangerous. They feel good right then, but they can really mess with your head long term.
Oh, absolutely. It's so easy to win like that and start thinking, hey, maybe I don't need solid strategy. Maybe I can just gamble and get lucky.
Yeah, it creates this false sense of confidence. You remember the time the crazy play worked.
And you conveniently forget all the times it blew up in your face.
Okay.
Confirmation bias. For
textbook example. You start overweighting the lucky outcomes.
And I'll admit it, those wins, they're the ones that make me want to stay longer, play more hands, chase that feeling. You think maybe I'm just running hot, even though, you know, every hand is independent.
It's that gambler's fallacy creeping in. Believing past luck influences future random events.
Which is why that quote I mentioned, luck lends but never gives, feels so important. It's a reminder that luck is temporary. You can't build a strategy on it.
A very sharp insight. Luck's a visitor, not a resident.
Okay, so that's the lucky win, the right mistake. But the session had more weirdness. I also got into this phase I call playing in the dark. What's your take on that?
Playing in the dark. Based on your description, it sounds like making moves, bets, bluffs based more on hunches or assumptions about your opponent's hand rather than, you know, solid reads or evidence. More speculative.
Yeah, that's it. And I definitely got carried away with it. Started bluffing maybe a bit too much. Now, don't get me wrong. Bluffing is essential, right?
Absolutely essential. A well-timed strategic bluff is a powerful tool. But the key is strategic, based on the situation, opponent tendencies, the board.
Right. Not just bluffing because you feel like it or because you're trying to force something.
Exactly. When it becomes the default, driven by gut feeling without substance, good players will pick up on it. It becomes predictable.
And, well, that's what happened. My playing in the dark streak. It backfired. Led to some pretty frustrating losses.
So it sounds like it really highlighted the need for adaptability.
Totally. You can't just stick to one mode. What works one minute might fail the next.
It's an interesting contrast, though. The earlier mistake got lucky and won. Here, relying on intuition without a solid basis led to losses. It really underlines needing that balance, grounded in good principles, but flexible.
Yeah, it's like trying to navigate, say, downtown LA today using a map from the 1950s.
Huh. Good analogy.
You might get lucky on a few turns, but mostly you're going to get lost and waste a lot of time and gas. Right? That old map is like a rigid poker strategy. It doesn't work when everything's changed.
Precisely. Poker's dynamic. You constantly need to update your map based on who you're playing against and how the game is flowing.
Speaking of flow, the table dynamic shifted dramatically during this session, too. Initially, it was pretty passive. Looser players.
Okay, so a softer game, maybe.
Yeah, and I actually felt like I could exploit that. A passive game plays differently, doesn't it?
Definitely. Passive players tend to be more cautious. They check and call a lot, need strong hands to bet big. So an aggressive player can often dictate the action, steal small pots, put pressure on them.
It was slower, more observational. Pick your spots.
Yeah.
But then things changed.
How so?
Those passive players busted out, and they got replaced by a whole new set of players. Really tough ones, what I call tight aggressive tags.
Ah, the tags. Yeah, that's a different beast entirely.
It felt like sharks suddenly appeared, circling. Not fun.
No, that's a major shift. Tags play fewer hands, but when they do play, they play them hard. Lots of betting, raising, putting you in tough spots. They apply constant pressure.
And I gotta be honest, I was caught off guard. The pace just ramped up, the aggression was constant, and I wasn't, like, mentally ready for that sudden shift.
It happens. You get comfortable in one dynamic, and then bam, it's a whole new game.
And it cost me. Big time. I had to rebuy 3 times in relatively short order.
Oof. 3 rebuys. That's rough.
Yeah. Never a good sign. It really shows how important it is to recognize when the game changes, maybe to a point where it's just not profitable for you anymore or doesn't suit your style.
Or even just your mental state at that moment. Sometimes the smartest play is just getting up and leaving, finding a better spot.
True. And it also makes you wonder about ego, right? Especially in higher stakes. Is there this pressure to stay, to prove you can hang with the tough guys, even when you're getting run over?
Oh, for sure. Ego is a huge factor. The money, the reputation, the fear of looking weak. It can absolutely lead to playing longer or making plays you shouldn't, just driven by pride instead of logic.
And speaking of decisions driven by emotion,
right?
Let's talk tilt. Because, man, this session put me right through the ringer.
The inevitable topic in any deep poker discussion, tilt.
Yeah. I know everyone experiences it, but this was a bad one for me. What really set it off this time, looking back?
Well, from your description in the vlog, it sounds like it was triggered by that brutal run of bad beats with premium hands. You mentioned aces getting cracked twice.
Twice, yeah. And kings lost. Queens lost. Just hand after hand of statistically strong starting hands going down in flames.
That kind of run, losing when you're a big favorite, especially multiple times quickly, it's incredibly tilting. It feels unfair, like the deck is just stacked against you personally.
Exactly. It's that feeling of, what is going on? What do I have to do to win a pot? And that's when the frustration kicks in, the doubt.
And the impulsive decisions follow.
Yep. You start chasing losses, playing hands you'd normally fold instantly, trying way too hard to regain control when you feel like you've lost it.
That sense of losing control is really the core of tilt, isn't it? Huh. When things feel random and your good plays aren't getting rewarded, the irrational brain takes over trying to force a win. Usually makes things worse.
I remember thinking during it, my brain felt like this super powerful computer. But it was broken. Like, all the processing power was still there, but it was just glitching, spitting out wrong answers, making terrible calculations.
That's a really sharp analogy. Powerful but broken. It captures that feeling perfectly. You know better intellectually, but your emotional state is just overriding your logic circuits.
So how do you fix the broken computer? What's the antidote when you feel that tilt coming on?
Well, you emphasize discipline, which is key. It starts with recognizing variance is part of the game. You can't control the outcome of every single hand.
Right. Accepting the uncertainty.
Exactly. And having the discipline not to get emotionally attached to those short-term results, the bad beats or the lucky wins, sticking to your process.
It's about being self-aware enough to notice when the frustration is building, when you're making decisions based on anger instead of reason.
And having the strength to either regain control right there, take a deep breath, refocus, or, crucially, having the discipline to just walk away, take a break.
Yeah, sometimes stepping away is the only winning play left. It definitely requires a mindset shift, though.
It really does. Moving away from needing that immediate win, that instant gratification, and focusing instead on the long game. Making consistently good decisions over time, managing your bankroll, managing your emotions.
I've started trying to think of it less like a sprint, you know, trying to win every single pot, and more like a marathon. Consistency, endurance, managing your energy. That's what matters over the long haul.
The marathon analogy is perfect. Poker success isn't about one session or one big win. It's about mental stamina, emotional resilience, and showing up with your A game as often as possible over years.
Man, just talking through this one session, it really brings up so many bigger lessons, doesn't it? About risk, handling pressure, emotional control, stuff that applies way beyond poker.
Absolutely. So thinking about the listeners, what are the main takeaways from your experience here?
Well, first, I think, is that right mistake idea. Be careful about wins that come from luck, not skill. A good result doesn't always mean a good decision was made.
Right. You need that honesty with yourself. Was it skill or was it variance? Because learning the wrong lesson from a lucky win can be really damaging.
For sure. And then adaptability, like that changing table dynamic showed. You can't be rigid. You have to read the room, read the situation, and adjust. Like using the right map for the city you're actually in.
Crucial point. What worked yesterday or even an hour ago might not work now. Constant assessment is needed.
And then tilt. My painful example shows even experienced players aren't immune. Emotions can hijack your thinking if you let them.
Definitely. And the strategies for managing it, that self-awareness, the discipline, knowing when to walk away, those are life skills, really. Useful in any high-pressure situation.
Totally. It all boils down to taking that long-term view, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Focusing on learning, improving your decision-making process, not just obsessing over every single win or loss.
Precisely. Process over outcome, especially in the short term. Because over the long run, good process tends to lead to better outcomes, even with luck involved.
Well, this was surprisingly therapeutic, actually, breaking down that crazy session, hopefully useful for others too.
I think these insights are incredibly valuable.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Think about your own life, your own decisions. Have you ever had one of those lucky wins? Something that worked out, maybe despite a questionable choice, and did it teach you the right lesson? Or did it maybe make you a little too confident in luck? How can you apply these ideas, adaptability, emotional discipline, long-term focus, to whatever challenges or risks you're facing? Something to chew on. Thanks for diving deep with me today. Catch you all in the next one.